98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. American built for American dreams.
Maloney grabs the microphone, joins us for the Rush Hour Reboot. She gives us all the stories that happened overnight and anything that popped in the last couple hours that we might not be aware of. We give our opinions, and so do you, at Doug and Wolf 98.7.
So I don't know if you guys were aware of this yesterday, but the Cardinals landed themselves right in the center of the national sports conversations with the signing of three-time Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt. Here's Kurt Warner from Burns and Gambo yesterday.
I mean, I think I'm just surprised because I hadn't heard the Cardinals mentioned at all. Not surprised when I think about fit and I think about need. I think it's a great fit, and I'm excited to have JJ here in the Valley. You know, not only as a player, but as a tremendous leader, impact he's had on the community that he's been in down in Houston. I'm excited to have him here, and I still think there's some stuff left in the tank, and couple it with Chandler Jones, assuming he gets healthy, and some of their other pieces. I like the fit.
So, Wolf, I'll tell you what Doug's reaction was because I witnessed it.
Yeah.
I was sitting at my computer, and I looked down and I said, J.J. Watt's going to the Cardinals. And Doug turned around and he goes, no. No.
Yeah.
He was in shock.
I didn't think there was any way that report was true.
What was your reaction, Wolf? Did you almost fall off the treadmill?
Pretty much, yeah. The same thing right there. When I actually saw that on the treadmill base, I got to tell you, it blew my mind.
Is your treadmill on when you run?
Yeah, of course I am. 15 miles, by the
2.5?
way. I'm up to, no.
Wait, you ran 15 miles this year?
No, I'm talking about 15 miles a week, ladies and gentlemen. Getting it in, a little road work right there. But it's only 5 miles per hour, okay? So it's a jog, not a run. But I digress.
That's still impressive, I admit.
Watt reportedly gets a 2-year deal worth $31 million with $23 million guaranteed. Here's ESPN's Mike Tannenbaum.
It is a little bit of a risk when you start talking about age and injury, but given the depth of what they have in Arizona, what you're hoping is he's a 20 to 25 play a game guy, and if he can do that, Sage, then hopefully he could see both years of the contract. I do think that guarantee is a little aggressive, and what's interesting to me is if the four of us were having this conversation 2 weeks from now with the cap going down, some players are going to get squeezed out. You just don't know who it is. J.J. Watt is a rare player, not only for what he does on the field, but as Lewis alluded to, what he does off the field. So you're paying a little bit of a premium.
Boy, I disagree with Mike Tannenbaum 100% right there. I mean, he's talking about 25 snaps a game. I don't. He's over 1,000 snaps last year alone. This guy was lights out for the most part. I totally disagree with 25 snaps a game. I don't think that's what they're paying him $31 million for. I disagree with that. I think J.J. Watt right now, the only thing I'm worried about, Basinonians, is him staying healthy. He's missed 32 games over the last 5 years. Now, last year, he was in every game. And last year, over 1,000 snaps. As I said, that is incredible, and he played really, really well. You tell me the Cardinals get last year from J.J. Watt is a slam dunk.
This is not a question of your integrity. It's more of a, are you, I don't know. I'm completely ignorant on this. You said, you're sure it was 1,000 snaps?
Yeah.
Well, my math, give me a little bit of room, but in a 16-game season, 1,000 snaps around 60, 65, somewhere in there, snaps a game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's really
over
bad.
Over 1,000.
That's really bad on ESPN's part there to even suggest that it's only at 25 is what you're expecting when in that sense, he played over 60 snaps a game last year. I think it's all about the health. And what I also look at a little bit is this is also staring down, I think, your head coach. I think you're looking at Cliff Kingsbury and saying, I gave you a 10-win team last year and you didn't get to the playoffs. And now I just made your team better. What are you going to do about it?
According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the Cardinals hope to keep the rest of their defense together, which would mean bringing back Patrick Peterson and potentially Hassan Reddick as well.
Obviously, the Cardinals believed that J.J. Watt would be worth it. Think about the defense they have now. They have Chandler Jones on one side. Patrick Peterson is a pending free agent. I know for the right number, they would like to re-sign him. Hassan Reddick, also free agent, would like to have him back as well. We'll see if they could all make it happen. But J.J. Watt now joins a very, very good and improved defense.
How do you think the Watt signing will impact Reddick and Pat P?
I would give it a 2% chance Hassan Reddick remains. And I'll put about a 20% chance Pat P does.
Yeah, I think they're both gone for the most part. Would it be great if you could fit in one of those guys? For me, it'd be Pat P. If somehow, some way, you could fit Pat P into your salary cap structure, I'd be all over that. A corner, of course, and J.J. Watt. That combination right there has got my attention. But I do believe Hassan Reddick is gone.
Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, what is your outlook for the Cardinals' upcoming season after the team signed J.J. Watt? Your choices: contending for a championship, making some noise in the postseason, in the playoffs but not doing much, still not a playoff team.
Boy, is that a good question. Is that a good?
I'm
going to go C. I think they make the playoffs and lose in the first game.
Just the whole prediction thing. And you know what? I don't know what is going to transpire. I think I know. I don't know. Does it make them a playoff team? I thought last year they were a playoff team.
Yeah, I did too.
Last year they were a playoff team. So how does it? This makes them better. If I thought they were a playoff team last year, I'm going to have to say the exact same thing, but it's all going to be about the process.
So 43% say making some noise in the postseason.
Wow.
28% in the playoffs, but not doing much. 20% still not a playoff team. And then 9% contending for a championship.
I like the realism from fans right there, I got to say.
Now, speaking of championships, the Phoenix Suns will look to finish their three-game road trip unbeaten as they face defending champion LA Lakers tonight. So how you feeling, Monty?
Well, you guys have heard me say this. You know, we're going to enjoy tonight. The next thing we have will be a film session, and that film session has to be approached with a high level of intention. To get ready for the defending champs. But, you know, every team in this league can get you. And we understand that right now they're the standard. They're the champions. So we know we have to bring a great effort.
What do you want to see from the Suns tonight?
That's a great question. I will tell you right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves watching that game just blew my mind because it reinforced everything that I believe about the Phoenix Suns, that they play up and down to their competition many, many times. A good team that is playing up and down to their competition. Because of that, I think they're going to bring the requisite intensity against the Lakers tonight, knowing what the Lakers are all about, knowing who the Lakers are, knowing they're world champions, knowing it's LeBron James. I cannot wait to see the intensity that is going to be brought to the floor tonight because of that. Hopefully it's all going to even out for the Phoenix Suns in terms of how they play up and down, even that out, more consistent, and I think it's going to start tonight.
I'm just totally fired up for tonight and really the entire next 3 weeks. When I look at their schedule with two games against the Lakers, two games against the T-Wolves, and you're throwing in Golden State, Portland, Indiana, and Memphis in there too, four playoff teams. That's what these stretch of games. So you want to talk about, can they handle it with the extreme of two games against the Lakers and the total bottom two games against Minnesota? Who are you guys? Are you guys ready to go through this and focus on every opponent like they're all championship contenders? And a lot of times this year they've proven they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stretch where we learn more about the Suns than we ever thought we knew. Now, we've learned a lot, and we're happy about what we've learned. So let's not act like we're not excited about this. But I think this is the stretch where we really know, are you truly competing for a visit to the finals? Are you competing just for a home court advantage? Are you competing for a Western Conference final? Or are you just happy with the uniform and you pat you on the head because you've had a cute season so far? I mean, all of that is going to be rolled up into the next 2.5 weeks. Coming up next, the one story you already know, but just how bold of a move is this by Steve Keim? And what does he have to do now? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. From the Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle last night.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship.
Championship. It wasn't quite the same speech when Shaq touched his left ring finger to act like he's bringing his ring.
Right.
Listen, I didn't really believe Shaq was going to bring a ring to Phoenix, but I couldn't help but get excited when he said he was.
Listen, this is a bold move by Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinals general manager. J.J. Watt, he can still play based on innings. I watched the 2020 tape, and he can still play, no question. But as I said before, you know, I worry about him staying healthy. And I typically don't splatter easily, ladies and gentlemen. You have to worry about everybody you sign or give big money. You have to worry about whether or not they're going to be healthy. The only reason why I say this about J.J. Watt is because he's missed 32 games over the last 5 years. Okay, so to me, I think that is a relative part of this conversation. You have to talk about that. Now, if he stays healthy like he did last year, where he had over 1,000 snaps, one of two defensive linemen in the NFL that actually played over 1,000 snaps in 2020. Think about that. Now, if the Arizona Cardinals get what they got out of him in 2020, man, you watch the tape. And I tell you right now, this is great. This is going to be a great signing if he stays healthy. And I feel like I have to throw that in there only because he has missed 32 games in the last 5 years. I mean, is that not relative? Is that not something you've got to talk about? Yes. Now, it does provide an awful lot of aid, comfort, and shelter to me personally that he did record over 1,000 snaps last year. Man, just watch him play. He's still got it. He's still got a little burst that you don't expect to see from him. He's still got these violent hands that he uses so well. He's physical. He's smart. Watch him play. Oh, my goodness. Watch him on a three-step drop. Watch the quick passing game and the way he recognizes it so quickly and then looks immediately for that quarterback. If you're going to throw a three-step drop to the side of J.J. Watt, you got to consider him. As a quarterback, you got to think about J.J. Watt being to your side that you're going to work. That is unheard of in the NFL as far as I'm concerned.
And Chandler Jones is okay at it.
Right, Chandler's, you know, okay.
I mean, and they're both pretty good on recognizing a screen and being able to blow that up.
I'm glad you brought up Chan, though. Chandler Jones is a guy that loves the game. He has a passion for the game. It's one of the reasons why he signed this massive contract and got better. And now all of a sudden, you're bringing in a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer in J.J. Watt. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, do you think Chan is going to feed off that? Do you think he's going to feed? How about the little show-off? How about a little show-off, Chan, coming back after missing basically all of last season?
Remember how much, listen, I don't know if he was just being nice and whether he was full of crap or not, but it didn't sound like it. How much did he talk about picking the brain of T-Suggs?
T-Suggs?
The whole time Suggs was here.
They had a great relationship when he was here, no doubt. But J.J. Watt, Now all of a sudden, this is a whole new level of field cred that is going on. Man, I'm just wondering what kind of impact it's going to have on Chandler Jones, let alone the entire defense, let alone the entire team, with this guy's leadership and the accountability that comes with it. The mentality of this team, Basinonians, has changed. Again, I was talking about J.J. Watts 2 weeks ago, I think it was. We were having a conversation here, and it was about, hey, listen, you know what? J.J. Watt at $15, $16 million a year right now, I'm not going to do it. And the reason why I'm not going to do it is because he's missed 32 games in the last 5 years. It's a dicey proposition. But when I went back and looked at the tape, man, I'll tell you, and the fact that he played over 1,000 snaps once again last year, if the Arizona Cardinals can get that out of J.J. Watt, it's still an excellent investment because of the impact he's going to have on everyone else.
Then there is something that John McClain said yesterday on Bickley and Murata. He's the Houston Chronicle writer that's been covering J.J. Watt for years. I kind of laughed at this.
You know, first of all, I'm shocked. I never had the Cardinals in my list of the top five, never even thought of the Cardinals because Watt wanted to go, we thought, to a Super Bowl contender, and he wanted to have fun again. Well, he can have fun out there, of course, in a great city, great stadium, playing for a fun coach. And Cliff Kingsbury, he knows the defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, because Vance's first year here and secondary coach under Wade Phillips was Watt's first year here in 2011. And then Watt started next to Angelo Blackson when Angelo was here. So he's got people, of course, Hopkins first and foremost. And as I wrote for our website, there's at least one game for Texans fans to get excited about next season, and that's because of Watt and Hopkins and the Cardinals.
That'll be at State Farm
Stadium.
I feel
bad for John McClain, honestly, right now. I just feel bad for him.
He said to us, if you remember, about a week ago, he said he's been waiting most of his career to cover a franchise quarterback. And he said he got to with Warren Moon, but that was so much later on in Warren Moon's career. And don't forget the racism at the beginning of his career, the thought you're not really ready as a black quarterback. Mm-hmm. You need to go play in the CFL. And he had like 5 years with the Edmonton Eskimos before he came back to the NFL. Yeah, he did. So John McClain was talking about, I finally get Deshaun Watson. And recognize so quickly how special that young man is. And yet now it seems, you know, obviously that he's got to go because you cannot have that weight hanging over. I believe him when he says he's never going to play for the Texans again. I don't think this is a guy bluffing. And so, again, I add that to the list of teams. Houston, Carolina, Chicago, Jacksonville, with massive questions at quarterback or playing rookies against J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones next mm-hmm. year. And then you throw in the Colts, because who knows what to think of Carson Wentz. And then you throw in Dallas if you play them early in the year. We don't know yet, based on the health of Dak Prescott. That there's a lot of problems. And then, of course, there's Russ. Russ, you just called out your offensive line 2 weeks ago, and now the Cardinals' pass rush just got better for two of your games.
Yeah, man. this is going to have a huge impact, I think. Not only the tangible, of course, that J.J. Watt brings, but the intangibles that he brings. I've been saying it all offseason. The Cardinals need to get more physical on the line of scrimmage. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you J.J. Watt. They just got more physical on the line of scrimmage. Now they need to continue to get physical on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. That was my number one thing I wanted to see the Cardinals do, get more physical. They just did. And the culture, the identity, leadership in that clubhouse, leadership in that locker room. They just got that with J.J. Watt. That's exactly what he's going to bring to this team, and it's what they need. Culture becomes a collective personality and how you do things, how you go about your business as not only an individual player, Basinonians, but as a team. It's who you are, basically. It's who you are. And this is something that I think they lacked last year. And this is what he's going to bring. I think he's going to make a huge impact in this regard. Culture. how you go about your business, your identity. Man, they need that.
And a small point that I don't want to make, but I need to be fair. I'm always going to have a problem that DeAndre Hopkins doesn't practice enough for what I think needs to happen. But it obviously doesn't bother J.J. Watt.
Yeah, that's interesting right there.
Because I don't think he'd be here if he really had a problem with it, because he knows all about it.
And he's got an excellent relationship, of course, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, we know how much money Watt is getting, so Watt's left for Hassan Reddick and Pat P. And Fitz. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I get it.
Turn down for what?
Everybody's aware of this, but in case you're not, you cannot be the best division in football if Mike Brown's in your division.
What?
You can't be the best division in football if Mike Brown is in your division.
Really?
I may or may not be in a text argument with a gentleman, we'll just call him Lorenzo. About the difficulties of the AFC and the NFC right now.
Oh, I see.
And my declaration that if San Francisco's healthy, the NFC West is the toughest division in the NFL. And then I realize how good Browns and Ravens and Steelers are.
So you mean
but the Bengals are in that division.
Yes, okay. That
you're automatically disqualified from being the toughest division of football.
Joe Burrow is going to change things in Cincinnati.
He's absolutely fantastic. But until they change their offensive line or receiving core or whoever's causing the sacks.
I said don't change it, Douglas.
Whoever's causing those sacks. That kid was getting crushed last year. There's a lot of people. Listen, you can say this, but at the same time, I still want to bring a Lamborghini into my driveway, too.
Obviously, the Cardinals believed that J.J. Watt would be worth it. Think about the defense they have now. They have Chandler Jones on one side. Patrick Peterson is a pending free agent. I know for the right number, they would like to re-sign him. Hassan Reddick, also free agent, would like to have him back as well. We'll see if they could all make it happen. But J.J. Watt now joins a very, very good and improved defense.
I would like to buy a country club home on a golf course for about $150,000. I would like to have a Lamborghini at the right number. Okay, I get what you're saying, Ian Rappaport. I'm not saying the Cardinals are lying. Whoever your source is, they're not being dishonest. They would like to sign Reddick and Pat P. But let's get real. Would you say I would like to sign you and there's no way your offer to Hassan Reddick is going to come anywhere near somebody else's offer?
Yeah.
Listen, if you really want to sign to franchise him, is that a good move? No. But that doesn't that show you? You say you want to, I believe you, but come on.
Yeah, not Pat really. P is gone. I agree with you. He's going to get an offer the Cardinals most likely will not be able to beat based on Ian's. And what does that mean? It means Pat P walks and the Cards look for a corner, I think, at number 16. I think that really is where they're going to. If there's a corner that is worthy of being picked at number 16 and he's there, they're going to take a corner, I think. It's the smart thing to do. Hassan Reddick is most likely gone. And although I thought yesterday the Cards actually had a chance of retaining Hassan Reddick, I don't think that's the case anymore with J.J. Watt, obviously.
You go into this season for years planning on a salary cap of around 210. You find out it's 182, okay?
That's significant.
So you've got that issue that has dramatically affected your planning. Now, because you've got the guts, you throw in about a $14, $15 million cap hit for J.J. Watt. You don't magically then have room. Now, can you do it? Yes. You can kick the can down the road and sign them to low salary offers this year with massive signing bonuses that you plan on spreading out over the years of the cap when the cap goes up. You can do it. But you are then going all in on 2021, and you are blasting your future. I don't mind if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're that good. I think it's a mistake because I don't think you're good enough to go all in. And when I say go all in, I mean, are you better than the Seahawks, better than the Rams, better than a 49ers team that's healthy? And you have to look across the bays now. You have to look at Green Bay and Tampa Bay. You have to wonder about the future of Drew Brees. All of that just to play Pat Mahomes. Just to play, I hate to actually say this to you, play possibly the Bills or the return of Baltimore. That's what you've got to do to win a Super Bowl. That's so many steps. I don't think you destroy 2022 and 2023 to do that. There's also something else that we haven't talked about at all and no one's talked about.
Okay.
I love the signing of J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
But in 2020, the defense wasn't the reason why you didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Your problem was on offense.
Yeah, the defense could have played better. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were average at best, but it was the collapse of the offense, I would say, especially in December. Just going back and looking at it, the first nine games of the season, they were, I still believe, number one.
Mm-hmm.
The number one offense in the National Football League, and then they just went south.
You look at this offense right now, and I'm not raining on anybody's parade. It's not like Steve Keim doesn't know this because it's an exciting day for the Cardinals. But Larry Fitzgerald, as of right now, is not walking through that door. We hope he does. But he's not. Christian Kirk has not proven to be the number two wide receiver that we were all hoping he would be. Doesn't mean the book's closed on him, but it means he hasn't done it yet. You've got to add to that wide receiver room. You've got to fix the interior line. And on a wish list, I'd like to have a tight end and I'd like to have a little bit better running back situation. That's a lot of things you still need. This is a huge day in the history of the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure.
Be excited about it, but you're still an 8-8 team with problems offensively today, just like you were yesterday.
Yeah, what does it mean, the signing of J.J. Watt for the Arizona Cardinals? I think Pat P. is probably gone. I think Hassan Reddick is gone. I think it ensures the fact that Devon Kennard is a June 1st cut. It pains me to say that. I love Devon. I love his dad, Derek Kennard, one of my favorite teammates of all time. But I think they could save $6 million, over $6 million on the cap. And having said that, I think Marcus Golden could get an offer by the Cardinals, a one-year contract, because if you're going to let Devon Kennard go and you're going to save all that money, now you've got a Marcus Golden, somebody that you love, somebody that you know as well, somebody that will give you everything he's got. Larry Fitzgerald, maybe this is what Larry's been waiting for. We've been speculating, what is keeping Larry from making a decision right here? Obviously, he's conflicted. Maybe it was something like this. Maybe it was truly a signing that matters, a J.J. Watt. And now Larry's got that kind of aid, comfort, and shelter inside that locker room from another leader. This new counterculture that's going to take over that locker room right now. This is a more physical team today, Baysonians, than they were yesterday. A more physical team today. More physical inside the box, more destructive at the point of attack, more intentional in keeping others accountable, starting with JJ himself. Because sometimes, Baysonians, you got to line up and just be better than your opponent. Sometimes you have to challenge yourself to just be better than your opponent. Now they got a guy that is going to be one of those dogs barking loudest inside that locker room.
February 3rd, Larry Fitzgerald was on the Fred Couples show on Sirius XM. I think this is one of the things when you look at J.J. Watt to think about, because he didn't say he's coming back. But he said,
yeah, that I have a desire to continue to play and chase greatness. The only reason you play is to win a championship, and that would be the only reason I would, you know, be participating.
You do have to say the Cardinals' championship chances improved yesterday.
Yes.
So if the only reason he's coming back, and I think with Fitz you have to believe him, would be if I believe we can win a championship. The chances did go up.
No doubt.
And I believe he's interested. Win a brand new Arizona Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey. This is pretty cool. a J.J. Watt jersey. You want one? If you text Watt,
it won't be 99.
And I think if you, I think you know this, but in case you don't, Watt is W-A-T-T. Text Watt, W-A-T-T, to 620-620. If you do that, you could be one of the first to have a Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey. Text Watt to 620-620. Text and data rates may apply. Coming up next.
I came here because of Book. You know what I mean? Don't make any mistake about that. Like, I came to Phoenix because of Book.
He came to Phoenix because of Book. And now you're up against the Lakers. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. 8 o'clock tonight, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're counting down all the hours to the biggest game. And Suns Day goes all the way up right until tip-off and, of course, goes through the game. Suns Day is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. 98.7 FM is your home of the Suns. And we're the home of Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And I the reason why I'm so fired up about tonight is the test. The test that it shows of, are you ready for the Lakers? It's almost a can't lose type of situation unless you get blown out, unless you just embarrass yourself. Because it counts as a loss, it's a big deal, but the Lakers, they don't need this as much as the Suns need to know where they are. If the Lakers lose, they're going to be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Now they're going to come out and compete, blah, blah, blah. But the desire of making sure the cute little Suns stay down isn't nearly as important as little brother trying to go. I mean, if you're fighting with your little brother in a sporting event, do you really have the intensity they do? You want to win. You want to squash their hopes and dreams and all that. But think about how bad they want to beat you. You want to beat them. They need to beat you. And that's the difference for tonight.
You know, consistency has been an issue for the Phoenix Suns. They've had a tendency to play up and down to their competition. Now, they've won a lot more games than they've lost, thank goodness, right? We see this rejuvenated Suns team, so to speak, the entire organization. But they have had this tendency of playing up and down to their competition, and we've been talking about it all season long. Well, tonight, I fully expect them to go out and play very, very well against the Lakers. Here it is, defending champions, LeBron James, of course, even without AD, as you were talking about, Doug Lease. I still expect them to go out and play very, very well tonight. Will it be enough to win? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But to me, I think this is going to be one of the best games of the year so far. I'll be shocked if it isn't. That's because of the tendency we've seen from the Suns. Now, hopefully this is going to even out as the season unfolds and continues to unfold. Hopefully it's going to even out where they're going to be much more consistent in their approach and realizing that we're going to play a lot of teams that are inferior to us. So we're really playing ourselves a lot of the time, like against the Minnesota T-Wolves, right? The Timberwolves, the worst team in the association. And now all of a sudden, you're in a dogfight with them for three quarters. The fourth quarter got sideways, no doubt about that. But we saw it even against that game, that team in that game. We saw that up and down inconsistency, and I think we're going to see it again here in a positive way against the Lakers tonight.
Post-All-Star game, the Suns have a back-to-back at home against Minnesota, and then they play the Lakers after that.
Yeah.
So you'll really see, okay, are you focused on the here and now? We've been focused a lot today when we talk about the Suns, if you haven't heard us talk Suns today, about not only this game tonight against the Lakers, but about the culture that's created. Because I can't help but find massive similarities between our feelings at the beginning of this offseason with the Suns of signing of Chris Paul, our hope of what he'll bring to the team, what he did last year in Oklahoma City, and yet for years before that, a lot of health problems, then drops in, culture change, Oklahoma City has a nice playoff run. Now he comes here, and we don't know about the playoff run, but we already know we're in a nice regular season run. And then that connection to J.J. Watt, of when J.J. Watt has been healthy, he's been a huge player for the Texans, but also the culture addition he brings to the Cardinals. This is Monty Williams December 17th. So you are still two. I know it sounds weird to say this about December, but remember there's this whole COVID thing we're in. This is still 2 weeks before the beginning of the regular season. And Monty Williams says this about the culture and adding CP3. And tell me if you can feel it for J.J. Watt.
This morning, me and DeAndre were upstairs by the coaches' offices in one of those really nice rooms we have here. They were up there watching film an hour before practice, just those two. And you can't pay for that, you know, to have a guy like Chris sit down with DeAndre and just look at film and talk and teach and, you know, that kind of thing. And that's the culture driving stuff that we talk about. That's a huge component of our culture.
Do you have any idea how important that is? I mean, it's just basically when you hear culture, and I know we talk an awful lot about it here. I'm sorry, but as a former player, I know how important it is. It is so critical. It starts with a thought, and then it moves into words, and then those words inspire actions. It's got to be everything that you are and everything that you ever will be. It says this is how we do things, and this is who we are. This is our identity. When push comes to shove, when it gets nasty on the field, gets nasty on the court, gets nasty on the ice, this is who we are. This is who we know we are. And you challenge yourself. You do it individually, and you do it collectively. It's just so important. And now all of a sudden you got CP3 sitting down with DeAndre Ayton. He's sitting down. It's just CP3 and DA in an office watching film together. Do you think that has an impact on a young man like DA? Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine. You know how much DeAndre Ayton respects CP3. We already know that. Of course he would. Even somebody as seemingly disengaged as DeAndre Ayton can possibly be, at least the first couple of seasons we've seen him play, there were games where he looked certainly disengaged. I guarantee you, Chris Paul has got his full attention when he's in that room together. And it's just those two as players.
So do you think if Rashard Lawrence is walking through the locker room, and not that he has ever been challenged of not having intensity, but J.J. Watt says, hey, I noticed something about your game. I want you to see this
Lucky
on film.
Faux too.
I mean,
Lucky.
What does that do if J.J. Watt pulls him aside and does that? Now, I want to be a little careful because I never looked at the Cardinals' defensive line as needing more leadership. So I don't want to get too D-line specific.
Peters.
You got Corey Peters.
But Corey's could be gone.
And Corey could be gone, and hopefully that you've just replaced that. But defense as a whole, of course, J.J. Watt comes in with a power. Here's Kurt Warner yesterday. He was on Burns and Gambo, and he really gets into culture in reverse of J.J. Watt probably wanting to know the culture before he came.
And obviously, he's got a relationship with DeAndre, you know, but, you know, Chandler being, you know, top quality guy and player in this league, I'm sure J.J. wanted to hear, okay, how close are you guys? Like, do you really feel if I come there that this team can compete for a championship? And that, to me, is where the validation comes. I mean, not, oh, does he want to come, you know, live here in Arizona, or does he want to play, you know, with DeAndre and Chandler and some great players? Of course, you know, and there's a lot of great players on a lot of different teams. But I believe J.J. wants to go somewhere where he believes, however long that is, maybe it's just the next 2 years, that this team can win. And I believe that's where the validation came is, hey, DeAndre, I know you. I respect you. Tell me, how close are you guys in the next 2 years? Can we get there with this team? And I think that's probably where J.J. was sold the most from a couple quality guys that I would assume right. Say, hey, we think we're close. We think we're a couple guys away, or we're just maturity away. And obviously you would help us turn that table if you came here.
You know what's amazing about this? When was D-Hop's Instagram? Was it Instagram or was it a tweet? When was that? Was
I'm
that
pretty
a week,
confident,
was that 2 weeks ago?
I'm pretty confident it was during Newsmakers Week. And that's when we asked Steve Keim about it. Because that's why we actually brought up J.J. Watt with Steve Keim during Newsmakers Week had everything to do with the tweet from DeAndre Hopkins. And when we asked Keim about it, you know, he was a little bit in shock, a little bit taken aback by it. But I don't want to say he stumbled, but when you start laughing at the question, have you reached out to J.J. Watt in line with DeAndre Hopkins reaching out to him himself?
Well, listen, guys, I don't want to get into details, but as you...
Why not? Like, what were the details?
We want details. We want the truth, Steve.
Obviously, you felt pretty darn good in that initial reaching out.
Well, listen, guys, I don't want to get into details.
Yeah, you know, but again, you need superstars to recruit superstars. And we saw that from D-Hop. It's what he did. Minch, do you have something to add?
Just the date.
Okay.
February 16th. So if I'm not mistaken, 16th. That was the week of Newsmakers
yep.
Week.
Yep. So there it is right there, February. Do you think that D-Hop had an inclination that the Arizona Cardinals were talking to J.J. Watt?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, wouldn't you? It is not tampering in any way for Steve Keim to reach out to DeAndre Hopkins and say, we just had a really good meeting with J.J. Watt. You might want to kind of double down on what happened here.
You know, the Cardinals are really, really good, Steve Keim, at keeping secrets, aren't you?
Steve Weisch, NFL Network is coming up next. How in the dark were you? How secretive were the Cardinals on this? What was his reaction to J.J. Watt? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.